discussion? Okay, Elizabeth. Now we're back to county administration presentation of the fire marshal's local responsibility area fire hazard severity zone maps.
Correct. Good morning again, board members. I'm providing a presentation, Elizabeth Nielsen, deputy county administrator. Today I'm providing a presentation to the board and the public regarding fire hazard severity zones for Siskiyou County and county responsibilities. I would also like to note that we have in attendance Chief Greg Roth, Brian Shinoni, Director of Emergency Services, and Rick Dean, Director of Environmental, the Environmental Health Department, who can be available following my presentation to answer technical questions if needed. And let me clarify, Rick Dean is with Community Development. So next slide, please. So in accordance with state code, the state fire marshal is required to identify levels of fire hazard referred to as fire hazard severity zones throughout the state of California. Fire hazard severity zones are classified by the state fire marshal, and according to CAL FIRE's website, fire hazard severity zones embrace relatively homogeneous lands and shall be based on fuel loading, slope, fire weather, and other relevant factors present, including areas where winds have been identified by the department as a major cause of wildfire spread. The state fire marshal shall identify areas as moderate, high, and very high hazard severity zones based on consistent statewide criteria and based on the severity of fire hazard that is expected to prevail in those areas. On February 10th, Siskiyou County, as a local responsibility area for the areas within the jurisdiction of the county, received notice that the state fire marshal identified fire hazard severity zones for Siskiyou County. Siskiyou County is required to make the information available to the public for comment. And just for everybody's information, a local responsibility area is an area where the local government is responsible for wildfire protection. So again, in accordance with government code, Siskiyou County, within 30 days after receiving a transmittal from the state fire marshal that identifies the fire hazard severity zones, a local agency shall make the information available for public review and comment. The information shall be presented in a format that is understandable and accessible to the general public, including but not limited to the maps provided by the state fire marshal. In addition, Siskiyou County must designate by ordinance moderate, high, and very high fire hazard severity zones within the jurisdiction of the county. And we must adopt that ordinance within 120 days of the notice. And again, our notice was on February 10th. It is important to note that the county, through its adoption of an ordinance, may choose to increase the designation of a fire hazard severity zone as identified by the state fire marshal, or designate areas as having a fire hazard severity zone that were not designated in a fire hazard severity zone by the state fire marshal. However, and this part is important, the county is not allowed to reduce the designation of a fire hazard severity zone classification from the state fire marshal. For example, a local agency cannot make an area designated as high by the state fire marshal and classify as moderate in its adopted ordinance. If Siskiyou County decides to increase designations within our jurisdiction for the fire hazard severity zones identified by the state fire marshal, we must do the following. If increasing the designation to very high, a local agency must make a finding supported by substantial evidence in the record that the requirements of Government Code Section 51182 are necessary for effective fire protection. If we are to increase the designation to moderate or high, a local agency such as a county may do so at its own discretion. So again, if we're going to increase to very high, we have to provide justification with that new designation. Next slide, please. So here's a screenshot of the fire hazard severity zone map as identified by the state fire marshal. And those areas identified in orange, yellow, and red are areas that are not state responsible areas. So they're either county responsible areas, fire district responsible areas or city responsible areas.
Just real quick, how would it be county responsible areas? I haven't heard that term before.
So those are areas that are outside of an incorporated city, but are not within the state responsible response area for fire protection. So there are areas that are the responsibility of the county or fire districts for fire protection, and those are the areas that we are required to review the maps and adopt an ordinance for.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure I get it yet.
And we can, I can call up Chief Roth at the end of this too, understanding that there's probably some technical questions that are a little bit beyond my expertise. So as a reminder, there are areas throughout the county that are considered state responsible area and areas within incorporated cities. The county is not responsible for these areas, and our final ordinance will not include these areas. I wasn't intending to explore the map here because once you start zooming in, it's a very large area. However, there is a link on this PowerPoint. Excuse me. Yeah, there's also a link on the webpage that I'll outline here in a minute. The fire hazard severity zones, again, are identified as moderate, high, and very high. The public and the board can navigate this map and interact using different layers. You can also plug in addresses to view the fire hazard severity for a given location. Next slide, please. So, in accordance with state code, the county has opened a public comment period for the public to review and provide comments on the fire hazard severity zones within the jurisdiction of Siskiyou County. Comments are due April 2nd, 2025 by 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The public can access all information, including background information, resources, a link to the map, and how to comment via our county website. On the homepage of our website is a button with a direct link to the webpage that outlines the comment period and how to comment. And I would like to give a special thanks to Allie Kutzer for getting this public comment period published for us. When providing comments, we strongly encourage commenters to provide identifying details if comments are specific to an area on the fire hazard severity zone map. For example, addresses or data points, a map image can be in a PDF. We understand that most folks don't have GIS capabilities or GIS on their computer to send us, you know, map layers or things like that. Commenters should also provide justification if comments are focused on increasing the fire hazard severity zone of a given area. General comments are also welcome. And I won't go through all the contact information. It's all available on that webpage again. You can go to the county's homepage, and there is a clickable button to easily get to the webpage on commenting. In the meantime, Community Development, the Office of Emergency Services, and the Sheriff's Department will review the fire hazard severity zone maps and determine if any changes are necessary. County staff will also review any public comments received and will determine if any changes to the fire hazard severity zones are needed based on those comments. Following final review and any proposed changes to the maps, county staff will draft the required ordinance and present it to the board for approval. We anticipate the first and second readings of the ordinance will occur in May so that we can meet our June 9th, 2025 deadline of submitting the ordinance to the state fire marshal. One final item to note, there are several fire districts within the county's jurisdiction, and according to government code, districts are identified as local responsibility areas. We understand that many of the fire districts do not have the capacity or resources to meet the requirements outlined by the state fire marshal and government code. So we anticipate that the county will adopt an ordinance that covers the jurisdiction of the county, including those fire districts, and that ordinance will be provided to the fire district so that they can adopt the ordinance specific to their jurisdiction should they choose to do so. This approach will also help ensure that mapping is consistent throughout the jurisdictional areas of the county. Over the next couple of weeks, we will be contacting fire districts and meeting with them should they choose to meet with us throughout the county to coordinate with this with them and just to get their general feedback. with that, that sums up my presentation, and I'm happy to take any questions and happy to direct any questions. I anticipate there will be some, so thank you.
Supervisor Harris?
Oh, goodness, there's a lot here. The maps are not kind to our county. So I guess my first question is, are any of our vegetation projects going to affect these maps?
Greg Roth, County Fire Warden and CAL FIRE's CBUNA Unit Chief. I have not heard that any fuels reduction is going to change the map currently. It's produced as is. And I believe it goes through a review. I'm not sure how many years of review before that review. However, I don't think fuel reduction is considered in that currently.
What influence did the governor's draft proclamation on the county have on influencing this data?
My understanding is that they use data based on weather and fuels and fuel type to develop the map. So I don't know that drought was a data set that was used in the public.
Can you find that out?
I can ask.
Thank you. So. When the fire maps came out several years ago, this map is now more concentrated in the more populated areas, where it used to be pretty widespread. It's interesting that it's hit the populated areas, and most of those populated areas have been actively working on fuel reduction. So is this new law? How are we getting saddled with this now?
My understanding is the law originally that they issued a map for the SRA areas, state responsibility areas, and then through the government code that was presented, that they were required to now put up a map that included LRA, local responsibility areas. So that would be your cities and areas that are more populated, and that's why you see that come.
And does the state fire marshal provide services to our county?
They do in that certain services. They do inspections on your jail, your schools, things like that. But as far as fire suppression services, that's under... the state fire marshal is within CAL FIRE now. It's part of CAL FIRE, but they don't provide suppression services, if that's what you're asking.
Well, I know through some of the local fires that we've had, this board has been asked to essentially provide a position for the state fire marshals, to be doing more inspections. So I'm trying to figure out if this state fire marshal's office is directing us by ordinance now to adopt what they proposed, what they're going to bring to Siskiyou County to do inspections on a more regular basis versus where it's been kind of like pulling teeth to get somebody here.
My understanding is that they were ordered to produce the map, and that under the legislation that was passed in the government code, and that then counties under that government code are required to adopt the ordinance. So I guess to answer your question, at the end of the day, they've fulfilled their duty in producing the map, and I don't believe there's going to be any additional inspections done. CAL FIRE does inspections currently. We have two dedicated inspectors.
And I appreciate that, but it's irrelevant to the overall picture for insurance and fire severity.
Sure.
I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, and I would really like to be able to tie CAL FIRE's inspections to insurance premiums and to fire severity maps, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Sure.
And that's unfortunate. I'm just concerned that the State Fire Marshal's office is yet thrown an unfunded mandate on the county now that we don't have the resources for, and essentially put us in the limelight of we're responsible for fire now when we aren't.
Sure.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's stay up here. as I look at the map, it looks to me like if you're anywhere close to any kind of vegetation, you're in a high severity area. What database was used to determine the severity level?
I don't have that information. We have to reach out to the State Fire Marshal and find that information.
My concern is this. Forest Service uses something different than the state does. When it looks at severity, it looks at departures from normal, and how many rotations you are from normal fire on that landscape. I don't think the state looks at that, and which is very problematic to me because it's really not a true reflection of severity. All it says is you're close to vulnerable vegetation. I'd like to know what databases were used and their currency of those fields layers. The other question I have, so once a designation is made, how long is this going to last?
I have to find out when they plan to review it and put out another map. I don't know that information.
And the reason I ask that is because if we're doing treatments on the landscape, this ought to be an annual maintenance update.
Sure.
To a database, because it severely hampers my constituents' ability to get insurance or keep insurance. One of the things that I don't see in this, and I'm going to tell you flat out, I don't support this, and for multiple reasons. One, currency. Two, the true threat. Three, it's not linked to response from the standpoint of staffing. You know, to me, if we're going to designate something egregiously high from a risk standpoint, we have to experience more staffing in those areas to protect our citizens and not just allow insurance companies to use this as an excuse to cancel insurance. And then the other reason I don't support it either is because it's not coordinated with public lands, which are a true threat in my district. It doesn't affect their staffing, because their staffing is solely based on fire production on the landscape, and it has to do with terrain, you know this drill. But it really has nothing to do with public risk. It just has to do with how quickly they might deal with the fire out and what manpower is needed. It's also, what I don't like is it's confined to the SRA. You know, the SRA, although Scott Valley, it's in the SRA, the bulk of my district isn't, which to me sets up a different set of circumstances for people seeking home ownership and loans and insurance and those kind of things. So it's disparate treatment across my district. You know, I'd like to see it somehow also linked to the amount of money that the state comes back and puts into volunteer fire departments. You know, because as I look at Scott Valley, which is in the SRA, which has the hazardous fuels piece, a big piece of that initial attack is not only CAL FIRE, it's also volunteer fire departments in there. And then I'd also ask the question, I guess, what did Oregon do recently that's different? They updated their process in Oregon to reflect the true risk on the ground. There was a better assessment for the insurance companies to respond to. And it had to do with the question Supervisor Harris asked is, you know, we've made fuel investment treatments all over the place, but they're never reflected in these maps. And that's just not right. I mean, that's a negative incentive to do anything.
And we'll confirm that they were considered. I don't know if they were or not. So.
Well, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know where the investments have made, and it's not reflected in those maps. So that's kind of where I'm at with this thing. And to me, by throwing that out there, you know, it just puts a noose around the neck of my constituents financially. And all it does is, quite frankly, it allows the state another process to allow the NGOs to say, hey, we're in a high-fire severity area, this is a higher priority for a grant. But the money-making thing on my part of an easy scapegoat for the insurance companies, that's what I'll support.
Just real quick, to Supervisor Haupt, to potentially answer one question that you had. There is, and I did include it on the agenda, the CAL FIRE's flipbook, and it includes the frequently asked questions. It's also available on the webpage. One of the questions is, how are fire hazard severity zones determined? And CAL FIRE stated that CAL FIRE used the best available science and data to develop and field test a model that served as the basis of zone assignments. The model evaluated the probability of the area burning and potential fire behavior in the area. Many factors were included, such as fire history, vegetation, flame length, blowing embers, proximity to wildland, terrain, and weather. And so I could ask for more information on that model, but that is the answer that they have available right now.
There's no report on me, Greg. I guess it's the head shit. But the fishing game tells me that all the time. They use the best available, the best science. You know, their science isn't my best science. And I don't think this is either.
And through the chair, Madbury County Council, if I could answer one other question, Supervisor Haupt had about periodic review. The very high fire hazards, very severity zones. And the government code requires the state fire marshal to periodically review these areas, and the review shall coincide with the review of state responsibility area lands every 5 years.
That doesn't work for me. Thank you both. So the other thing, what input, Greg, do you have to the SRA boundaries? And is that open to discussion? Because my concern is that those boundaries were set years ago, and they really haven't been shifted around much. The Forest Service doesn't staff suppression for homes by law. They can't. That's a great concern to the bulk of my district. And it seems to me that the Forest Service needs to be shoveling more money over to the state into their protection areas so that our citizens are adequately protected in those areas. So I'd really like you to champion that.
SRA boundaries are reviewed annually by the unit in conjunction with our federal counterparts. Last year, we made some major changes to the SRA boundaries and took on several thousand more acres within the SISTE unit. This year, we had some very minor changes, and the reason why what we look at when we do that is the service that we can provide. And if we don't have the ability to respond effectively within a certain amount of time frame, we typically wouldn't change that boundary, but they are reviewed annually, and we do change them annually if it's appropriate.
Yeah, but that's not a fixed budget. The SRA funds come through state and private forestry from the federal. appropriation. And just need to increase the federal appropriation to make that happen. My point is, two things on the Forest Service. One is, by law, they can't protect my communities the way Cal Fire can, because they're not they're prohibited from good structural protection, unless it may escape the wildland. And that is what it is. And then the other issue that I know internally is the Forest Service doesn't staff their engines or their crews, and they, because of recruitment issues and over the past several years, they have not been able to even certify a lot of their Type 1 engines and Type 1 crews to be able to respond to incidents. That's a great concern to me, and it's something the state needs to be aware of.
I know that they are aware of, and they're in constant talks with our CFMA agreement. I don't know, I'm sure you're aware that the CFMA has been extended several times as they're trying to come to a new agreement and what that looks like.
Okay, thank you.
Other comments?
So, short notice, huh?
Correct.
And then, yes, we have nothing else to do except drop everything we're doing and start an ordinance process in for 120 days for a state fire marshal's office that doesn't even come here and inspect much. They do, but not much. So I want to know the nexus here, how that happens, where we get saddled with this and the cost of bearing it. And then ultimately our constituents. You know, the last time when we first started these mapping, that's when the insurance companies clombed onto it and rates started going up. This is just going to be another factor. And then I'm sure that because if we don't get this done, there'll be some, you know, consequence to the county, maybe even liability-wise. So I'm not comfortable with how this process is rolled out. Just because the state says so, I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. They got to give me more adequate time to figure this out, and they have to also provide funding and a mechanism to be able to, once they've identified what they have, state needs to also be backfilling where they should be for response as well. Because if it shows high, I'm hoping that personnel in our county is going up as well to offset that severity zone.
So, certainly a short time frame for obtaining public comment and passing the ordinance, all outlined in government code, is a requirement for the county. And my understanding and speaking with Chief Roth is if the county does not adopt an ordinance, then those fire hazard severity zones are adopted as is, and then we have foregone the opportunity to adopt an ordinance with potential changes to the map. I'm not sure if there will be potential changes after staff review or not, but they will just move forward with that mapping as it currently stands right now. As far as consequences for the county, I'm not aware of, I have not looked at that. I completely understand your comment. At this time, we are complying with state law, just to
how
make sure.
How long has it been state law? Or government code, do we know that?
Through the chair, county council, it was adopted in 2021 and went into effect January 1st, 2022.
And so, why haven't we, I guess, been offered the opportunity to start on 2022, or was it on us?
So the local agencies' responsibilities are triggered by the state fire marshal issuing the maps. And so the state fire marshal has recently issued the maps, and so now it's incumbent upon local agencies to review and adopt an ordinance. And what happens after you adopt an ordinance is then persons in those high hazard fire severity zones are required to have defensible space around their properties. So that's what it is. It ends up being something for the constituents.
Yes, correct.
Well, and how long did it take the State Fire Marshal's office to make these maps? Since 2022? 2 years? 3 years?
That's.
And we get 120 days?
We get 120 days.
Well, no little bit. I'm sorry, I just, it is unbelievable, and I'll leave it at that. It's just unbelievable.
Understood.
I don't get it anymore. It's just lunatics in Sacramento. Not your office, the legislators could get this stuff down and shove it down our throat.
Through the chair. In short, is this just like we've dealt with everything else? Is this a formality? This is what they're going to do? And we're going to go through the formal process of public comment and all that, and we're going to end up with what they want us to have. I mean.
So certainly we're going through the public comment process. County staff will be reviewing the maps, and we will coordinate on if there's any, if we have any recommended changes to the mapping, and then we can adopt that as a part of our ordinance and submit that to the state fire marshal. As a reminder, we can increase a fire hazard severity zone designation. We cannot decrease it. And understandably, we're likely to get comments saying, I have defensible space. I've cleared my property. I've done everything I need to. I shouldn't be in this high or very high severity zone. I completely understand that. We are not allowed to decrease it. We are allowed to increase it. All that said, we can make changes to the map. The fire hazard severity zone map, and then incorporate that into our ordinance. And that is, I don't have an answer for you today of whether or not we're going to do that because it's such a short turnaround time. We are working to get all this work done.
Well, I mean, realistically, looking at the sections of the map in my district, we're probably elevated from where we should be already. So I mean, this is just what we're going to end up voting, then, is what you're getting at. I mean, looking at the map, I'm not seeing anywhere that we would, you know, with living here my entire life, that we would elevate from where it currently is. So we're just stuck with what's presented then.
Potentially. I understand that. Yes, I understand that comment.
And again, we're only dealing with the unincorporated areas. Each city has to deal with their own piece.
Each incorporated city is responsible for their piece.
And they will make their own ordinances.
They should, yes, they are responsible for that.
One final comment for me. Something that we must include in our response is the most significant threat to my constituents in their ability to abate the fire hazard are the listed species. It prohibits us from doing the defensible space for spotted owl and the aquatic conservation work and the riparian reserve work prohibits any type of fuels manipulation in those very large riparian zones around Canada and other places to significantly reduce this threat to our citizens.
Yes, important point.
Okay. I'm not going to say any more than what everybody else up here has already said, so I'm not going to beat this to death anymore. Thank you for being the messengers. I'm sorry you had to do that. I think we really need to be mindful of those wooey areas, you know, the areas right there along the city edges. Wildland urban interface is something we've talked about forever. We've done so much work in those areas already, and it's a shame that those have to be high severity or very high severity areas that we can't change because we've done so much work there already around Wairika especially. And it's really disappointing that, you know, these areas are still going to be marked as super high severity when we know that there's been so much money and time and effort put into trying to make sure that we're making those areas so much safer. It's really bizarre in looking at the maps that one lot, half of it is very high severity, and the other piece of that lot, maybe even just a half an acre, is high severity. How can that be? There really needs to be a better look at these maps to see if that can change, and clearly, we can't change that. I don't know what we're going to do about that, but those comments need to be made. They need to, we need to take a better look at that. The state needs to take a better look at that. And those sorts of jagged edges on these maps are all over the place. Boundary lines need to be adjusted, and we need to be able to make those comments. There are lots of things that need to be adjusted here, and we need to really make sure that we get those comments in. I hope you took good notes, because everybody has some amazing comments here.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I got one more. Sorry. Do you know what pixel size is of the database that they use for this?
I do not.
Because if it's the typical 5 acres, it's not going to reflect anybody's defensible space.
Well, and that's part of what I was, I zoomed in and looked at a lot of that, and it's like you can't see street names. All you can, you know, when you get down into the city level, there's no real good GIS maps that really zoom in. There's not enough layers, there's not enough detail, and it's very vague. And that was my point yesterday and a week ago, was that we can't see enough detail. So, anything else?
Just real quick. So, new homes that are currently being built in the county I don't call them fireproof, but they're meeting the new state requirement. Do they get any kind of benefit from that? Because it appears to me they just got lumped in with everybody else. And then secondly, I think we need to direct staff to send a letter to our legislators and to RCRC and CSAC about, one, the timing of this, and the length of time that we're required to jump through this hoop. What we have to give some type of a pushback to make sure that, you know, we're coming through budget time right now, and there's enough to do without having to jump through this hoop in 120 days. I guess I want to know specifically the criteria of what was fed into this model to spit out what it just did from the State Fire Marshal's office. I want to know the criteria to use the data.
We do have an answer for the pixel size and the...
Brian Schneider, Director of Emergency Services. Getting verbal warning, I guess. Answer a couple questions. It was used the Scott and Bergen model from 2005, which was the coastal shrub, moderate low, dry climate. They fed that in through the Nexus with the flame length and crown lens is how they ran all of their modeling. To answer your question, OSU used land fire, which is a different modeling system. That's how they did theirs. And then they did not, for us in California, they did take in drought. They did take in drought impact for the 2022 season, the 2022 drought. That was when we were in severe extreme. So they did take that in. The Oregon OSU used more modeling across the state as well. And then they did not take into effect that, like, Dunsmere, good example of that, fantastic work that done down there with, as a FireWise community, that was not taken into effect. And then using the fire risk reduction models, they didn't take any of those. And a lot of that work hadn't been done when this modeling was taken into account.
You said they used the drought conditions.
Of 2022.
Yep. And the weather parameter that they use in their modeling.
That was, we can find that out, but that wasn't listed up.
Exactly.
So we have an additional page that I will send to the board as well, that what conditions and what they used throughout for the modeling.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I'm sure that the governor's drought declaration on Siskiyou County doesn't help our modeling.
No. It's just fire risk.
Yeah. It's almost by design, isn't it? Mr. Deeds is behind you. I don't know if he's coming up to something next. Or Patty, too.
Right?
Yeah.
Rick King, Community Development Director. Supervisor Gossett, you mentioned whether or not home hardening is a benefit. Actually, it's not. It's basically the fire severity hazard zone dictates whether or not the home has to be the hardening concept.
But if they've already done it, it's irrelevant, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Give your experts a couple of
words. Yeah, exactly.
Through the chair, I would just note that in government code section 51182A, which deals with persons who must have defensible space, there is a reference that says the amount of fuel modification necessary shall consider the flammability of the structure as affected by building material, building standards, location, and type of education. it might come into the picture that way.
So unless there are any other questions, I did hear the feedback. We, as staff, we will certainly consider that feedback. I did hear one potential direction, which is for staff to draft a letter to our local, our legislators, and to RCRC regarding our concerns. And CSAP, thank you, regarding our concerns about the shortened time frame, the burden this puts on the county, and bring that back for board approval. So if the board, if that's the direction I heard correctly.
Please take that direction.
Okay.
And can I ask something real quick?
Yes.
Brian, whatever you send to the board, would you copy to the clerk as well, and I'll put it in my packet?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to jump back to consent item F, please.
You don't have any maps, do you?
I don't, but I'm so glad I don't. Hello again, Sarah Kawhi, Health and Human Services. So in response to your question, Supervisor Kopseth, the grant will pay for two positions with only a small portion going towards advertising, promoting smoking cessation.
So it's $600,000 over 2 years?
It goes through 2027.
Seven, okay, so
yeah.
2 years.
And part of that is rollover funds. We were underspent, so the grant has already been approved by this body. This is just
right.
Extending the term.
Right.
And also a point of clarification, I heard loud and clear your concern about paybacks for grants, mm-hmm. and that is also top of mind for us, because any paybacks through Health and Human Services are paid by the respective division that carries
okay.
that grant.
$600,000 over 2 years in two positions, and so what percentage it goes to promotion? And are these new positions or current positions?
It was funded at 1.5, I believe, prior when the board approved it, but we're underspent, and so that portion is rolling over, and I don't have the exact percentages. Our fiscal person is out sick today, but I can get that to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? You're still thinking?
Yeah. Someone else can make a motion if they want. I'm not sure that I will.
Okay. I'll second.
I'm sorry?
I'll second.
You for second?
Yep.
Thank you. And that's just the recommended motion that's on the document. Thank you. All righty, Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
I'm going to go aye.
And Supervisor Oakley.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on, we are going to recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and look at item 7A, public comments. Any in the room?
Not online.
Not online. Okay, item B is consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
All righty. Director Help?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Kopseth?
Aye.
And Director Ogren?
Aye. Unit approval for February 18th, 2025.
And I've received no corrections for those.
Move to approve.
Supervisor Help?
Second.
All righty, Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Kopseth?
Aye.
And Director Ogren?
Aye. going to adjourn as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and move into County Service Area 3. Public comment? In the room? And online?
And online.
Okay, minute approval, February 18th.
No corrections?
Move to approve.
Sorry.
All right. Director Help?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Kopsev?
Aye.
And Director Ogren?
Aye. And adjourn as County Service Area 3 convened as, back as Board of Supervisors. Item 9, appointments.
You have my number. Okay, this is regular scheduled appointments for vacancies on the local child care planning council. We have positions for 2 providers, 1 consumer, and 2 public agency representatives. These all have terms ending February 28th of 2027. And the clerk's office, we did our posting as normal. And at the time the agenda worksheet was prepared, this clerk's office received letters and a forwarded email stating interest in reappointment from incumbents Daintree, Zarzinski, Tiffany Elliott, and Hillary Euler, and also the LPC recommended reappointment of the 3 interested, if we could make the appointment but also continue the remaining vacancies.
Move to approve.
The 3?
Yep.
Thank you.
I'll second.
All righty. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you.
We will move into minute approval for February 18, 2025.
And no corrections to those either.
Move to approve.
Second.
Vote.
All righty. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
And Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye. Okay, we are continuing public hearing from our last meeting on community development, planning division. Good morning.
Good morning. James Stolf, Senior Planner, County of Siskiyou. Today is the second reading of an ordinance which will reclassify 323 acres of land southwest of Callahan from RR Residential to Timber Production, TPZ. This project is consistent with the general plan requirements and is exempt from environmental review under CEQA. If you wish to adopt this ordinance, a motion has been provided and is included in your packet. Thank you.
So with that, any more discussion from the board?
You need to go down the
list. We still need to go back to the whole thing. So I read that presentation from the staff. You got that. Presentation of correspondence, which correspondence may be read, circulated, all that. Presentation of reports, arguments.
Hold on, ladies.
And just to note that the clerk's office has not received any correspondence.
Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff, other county departments, or public agencies.
Check online.
And online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Any in the room? Any online?
None online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. In the room?
None online.
Public comments. In the room?
None online.
Rebuttal by proponents. In the room?
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents. In the room? None online.
None online.
And now we will close the hearing.
Correct. Thank you.
Now we can have discussion. Members of the board. Have discussion?
Second.
Okay. All to vote.
All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. All right. We're ready for close session.
we're closed?
Yep.
Thank you.